Tango Whiskey Romeo. And we'll be starting the tips net in just a couple of minutes. I am still on my way to my desk. I'm afraid I got caught too far away from my notepad and what have you. So if you'll bear with me, we will be starting the tips net in just a couple of minutes. Until then, if anyone needs to make use of the repeater, now's the time. So TIPSnet will be held this evening. Just give me a couple more minutes. This is KC1TWR.
Santa Claus didn't bring you any better jokes there, Chuck. KA6PDJ.
Hey, I make do with what material comes my way, you know. Someday I'll do better, but in the meantime, you have my sincere apologies. W1FJW.
Thinking how I could be a nice guy here and start the net for Tim, and then when he gets situated, he can, because I really don't have time to run it tonight, but I'm sitting here for a couple of minutes doing nothing until the phone rings. So I'll pause about 10 seconds if anybody needs the repeater, otherwise we'll open the tips net and then Tim will pick it up. This is KA6PDJ.
Kevin, if you could do the intro and start the net, I would much appreciate it. I'm almost where I need to be, but not that close. Thank you, KC1TWR.
Taking copy, and give your name if you want and location, but indicate if you have any questions or topics that you're pondering that the net could help you with when you check in, all amateurs are welcome to check in. You don't have to have a topic or a question. And those who don't feel up to checking in are welcome to listen. Let's get, let's see, I think that's about it. I'll wait and see. Tim is probably where he needs to be. This is Kevin, KA6PDG. And Tim was mobile and just getting probably to Eastern Point Beach would be my guess. I hope he's got a sweater. KC1TWR, KA6PDG, are you ready?
KA6PDG, this is KC1TWR. Yes, I am ready, and thank you very much, Kevin, very much for starting the net. I am indeed at Eastern Point Beach. No sweater required because I'm inside of my car. I'm using my mobile rig, and I keep the car engine actually idling. Turn it off now and then, but then I start it again because there was one night when I ran the car battery out because I had accidentally left the mobile radio on high power. So hopefully not going to do that again. Let me reset. Thanks again, Kevin, and I think you pretty well covered everything. This TIPSnet is sponsored by the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club and is for the benefit of all licensed amateur operators and those that may be listening who aren't licensed yet. At this point, we're going to go ahead and open the net, so all those that would like to check in, please come with your call signs now.
This is
Kilo 1 Delta Charlie Tango. Dave and Preston, no questions at this time.
Here is Whiskey 1 Foxtrot Juliet Whiskey, no questions at this time.
Here is Kilo 1 Echo Mike Delta, Reed in Colchester. No questions.
And I think you have me, Tim, but KA6PDG, just to make it official, no questions.
DCT, Chuck, W1FJW, Reed, W1EMD, and Kevin, KA6PDG. Further check-ins, please call now.
Yes. Whiskey 1, Sierra Victor Charlie, Steve Coventry.
EMD.
This is KC1TWR, Net Control, K1EMD, please proceed.
K1EMD, you had me down as Whiskey, not Kilo, at the beginning. K1EMD.
To verify, you were Kilo1EMD, is that correct?
That is correct. Kilo1, Echo, Mike, Delta.
Well, thank you for the correction. I actually wrote Kilo1 Echo Mike Delta, and yet I said Whiskey, so my apologies there. Okay, any further check-ins, please call now. Okay, we start off the night tonight with no questions, which is fine. I think we'll do a couple of rounds of comments, see if something develops, see if something comes up and subject matter that we might all find of interest and have comments on. So we'll start at the top with Dave, K1DCT. This is KC1TWR.
Good evening, Tim, and to all those on the net. K1DCT. Yeah, just, I don't know if it's the appropriate time, but I guess it could come up as a question, but I kind of wonder if anybody did any operating for straight kenite. I did a little bit. Maybe half a dozen stations. I didn't concentrate on it. But got the old straight T out, and it's a whole different set of muscles than the bencher paddle. And we played a little bit, made a few contacts, nothing spectacular, but had a good time, and went back to the old ways. So that's all that's going on here. Back to net, K1DCT.
That's a good question, Dave. And it kind of brings to mind pretty much any movie where it shows people reverting back to using Morse code, such as in Independence Day, when you see all they say, get the word out, and they're trying to send Morse code around the world because all the other communications is down. They're all using straight keys. You don't see anybody using paddles, and I think that's because most people's perception of CW is with a straight key, and I don't think people outside of the hobby really know that the paddle is used quite frequently. Okay, we'll move on to Chuck, W1FJW. This is KC1TWR.
An observation, I seldom talk, but usually listen to 80 and 40 meters in the morning, and it seems to me the gray line propagation lasts longer this time of year. Maybe it's because the sun comes up slower or something, but I seem to be noticing the gray line seems to last longer than it does other times of the year. Back to net, W1FJW.
Observation, and I'm not that familiar with gray lines, so I'm going to have to go look that up. But that's good, and I do know that there are a number of nets in the morning, some used quite locally, so that's a good time for people to get on the air and listen in. Okay, I think we'll move on now to Reed, K1EMD. This is KC1TWR.
KC1TWR on the net, K1EMD. I am still learning that new language to me of CW, so I didn't use any. Hope to become more proficient and get on the air. Back to net control, K1EMD.
That's very good, Reed. Maybe next round you can tell us if you're what method you're using to learn, because I've heard of several, from the individual letters to groups of letters to various programs that are out there. So that would be of interest. And Kevin, KA6PDG, any comments for this round? This is KC1TWR, net control for the tips net. you, Kevin. And that does raise an interesting question, because you mentioned you didn't know until you moved away, and it dawned on me that I wonder how amateur radio operators within an area other than word of mouth, how would they know about those restrictions or that they were within the confines of an A space? So that's a good, or an A line. That would be quite interesting. Another area I'm going to have to look into. And Steve, W1SBC, glad to hear your voice again. And any comments? This is KC1TWR.
W1SBC. Yeah, I got a couple comments on the keyer versus straight key. It's kind of, I was doing some cleaning yesterday, some moving things around. I want to unload a few items so I can, of course, buy more items. And I was standing there looking at my straight key, and I had it packed up, almost ready to go, because I do want to learn with the paddle, because I know several gentlemen who work with the paddle, and it doesn't even look like they're doing anything. It's just so such a light touch. And but the keyer is the straight key is a little bit, I don't know, it just seems like it's more authentic, but I don't know if it's any more efficient, probably less efficient. So needless to say, it's still here on the shelf. I actually cleaned it up and wrapped it up nice, so it's not going anywhere. I'm going to reset. I do want to learn CW, but I'm trying to get my extra, which hopefully first Hamfest this spring I'll take that, and I'm pretty close to being ready. I've taken it and failed, but we will succeed, and then I'm going to go after the CW, but I want to get that the extra under my belt. And then yeah, the gray line is actually as real as it can be. There's a actually WMCT, W1MCT, and several other people around here go on 80 meter net in the mornings when I'm available, and it happens around as the sun is rising. And what a difference it'd be. You can just see the differences in the band that 5-10 minutes make as the sun rises. It's quite the concept. I never read about it, but I actually witness it almost every Saturday and Sunday morning. Back to net, W1SBC.
That's very true. That's interesting, Steve. For people who mostly use 2 meter, you don't really think about band conditions quite so much. You worry more about leaves on the trees. But for HF, yeah, band conditions can definitely both hinder and help at different times. So that is good. And you also raised an interesting point, which is if a person learns, does a person have to learn CW twice? You know, listening, you'd learn once. But as far as sending goes, it sounds to me like you'd have to learn twice, once to learn how to do straight key and once to do paddle. I mean, you don't have to learn both, but if you learn one and you want to do the other, you still almost, I think you almost have to start from scratch. I don't know. Maybe Dave, K1DCT, will inform us what his opinion. But before we do that, I just want to state again, this is the TipsNet. We meet every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock on the Salem repeater. And do a quick call out for any further check-ins that would like to check in. Please call now.
Here is Kilo Zero, Juliet, Echo, Bravo, Josh and Grunt, good evening.
That recognizes Josh, K0JEB. Any further check-ins, please call now. Josh, we're going to give you instant service because we were just at the bottom of the list, and I've added your name, and I don't know how long you've been able to listen and what have you, but maybe you have been listening, you have any comments based on that, or maybe you've got a question, or maybe you just have a general comment for the what's been happening in the past week since we last had the TipsNet. K0JEP, KC1TWR.
KC1TWR is K0JB. I don't have any questions. I do have a few comments. I've been listening for a few minutes. First off, still kind of curious how you made out with your plans for that that cube antenna design that you were talking about a couple weeks ago. Also, I have been hearing as far as propagation, I was on the HF this morning on 80 meters and heard a few guys talking about how they've been noticing some openings on 10 meters. And one guy said, "Oh, geez, I haven't checked 10 meters in forever." And the other guy said, "Well, I've been checking, and a couple other guys have been checking, and the band has been opening periodically." So anybody who has 10 meter gear, maybe might be a good idea to keep an eye out. Also, as far as there was some talk about the frequencies that you had to work with in restricted situations. Let me reset the repeater. CT spectrum management does the coordination for the frequencies here in Connecticut, and they have a lot of good information on their website, ctspectrum.com, and I've gone there quite a few times looking for things, and that's about all I caught. I didn't catch too much on chat there, but that's all I have, and if anybody's got a question for me, I'll answer it on the next round, I guess. KC1TWR, it's K0JB.
Well, thank you, Josh. Good comments, all. On the cube antenna, I've had my daughter and her kids were staying with us, and my son from Georgia and his wife and two nephews staying with us, so I haven't gotten much of anything done around the house, including working on getting up into the attic. I'm still working on the ladder. Did some research, and I've got an idea on how I want to build the ladder, but I haven't gotten further at all. As a matter of fact, the last of them, I'm driving to the airport in Boston tomorrow, about midday, so after that I'll have about a week and a half where I can regain my sanity from all the company. It was good, but still, it's having that many people in the house that takes a toll, as it were. And then I'll be off to North Carolina for about another week and then back again. Let me reset. Good news about the 10 meter, and for all those who do have HF and want to listen to it, it would be worth checking out. And ctspectrum.com does sound like a good website. And I have been there, but I haven't been there in probably 6 months to a year, so I should check it out again. Okay, we're going to go back to the top of the list, and Dave, K1DCT, I had a question for you, which was, in your experience, because you obviously know how to do both paddle and street key, as far as sending goes, was it really learning two different methods, or because you knew one, the other one came quickly? So K1DCT, KC1TWR.
Hi, thank you, Tim. K1DCT. Well, of course, I learned on a street key because I've been around, I don't know, probably almost as long as Kevin, maybe longer. But so I learned on a street key and had no problem with that. And then got myself a paddle. Before that, I got myself a bug. And if you don't know what that is, it's the dashes are sent with a paddle, and the dots or dits are sent with another panel with a weight on it. So you can send multiple dips by just holding it and let that weight go back and forth. So you can hear it on the air. If you hear somebody with a buzz, you can usually tell that that's what they're using. I didn't care too much for that. So anyway, but got the paddle, and you do have to learn a little bit. It's different. I use right-handed because I'm right-hand dominant. But the paddle I learned to use in my left hand, so I could be ready to write with the with my dominant hand. So it's it took a little while to get used to, but you know, it wasn't total relearn. You just had to get used to, okay, these are the dots and these are the dashes, and once you do it, an hour or two, you're good. Definitely prefer the paddle. Very easy. As I said, the straight key is a whole set of a whole different set of muscles, and if you're taught to use a straight key, you don't put your wrist down on the table and just tap with your wrist. You're supposed to keep your whole arm off the table, and it actually, the movement comes all the way back from your shoulder. So it's a different thing if you don't do it all the time. So, but it's fun. I still enjoy CW. I don't do it as much as I used to, but it's a good skill to have, and I do have a funny story about that, but I can save it for later. Back to net, K1DCT.
Comment.
This is KC1TWR, K6PDG. Go ahead, Kevin.
Comments. Good to know, and interesting that I like the idea, Dave, K1DCT, learning how to do the paddle with the left hand so you can take notes with the right. It probably took you a little longer to learn, not being your dominant hand, but still, it's not that big of a movement. It's not like trying to write cursive with the left hand. So it would be interesting. Myself, I just came into the hobby. I got my first license about 4 years ago, almost 5 years ago now. Golly. And consequently, I CW is what kept me out of it for the longest time, because I just couldn't get that rhythm, that dance, the music, whatever, and it's also kept me out of playing instruments. Even though my father was great on instruments, I just never was able to do that. Let me reset. Okay, and let's go ahead and go down next on the list to Chuck, WNFJW. This is KC1TWR.
All righty, well, my CW experience is short indeed. I worked myself up to just barely passing element one on the slimmest of all possible margins, just about in time for them to remove it as a license requirement. So I did copy CW successfully once, and I'll stand on that. Going back to a previous topic of the A-line, I looked, and the FCC rules, Part 97, B subpart D, goes into quite a delineation of exactly where it is, and other than a certain frequency, you know, banning amateur use of the low part of the band, and power over 50 watts, why it's not too horribly restrictive. Back to that W1FJW.
Well, thank you, Chuck. It's, the FCC has rules about so many different things, but it's good to know that they are keeping tabs on that, and I'm sure there's a good reason why they have those power restrictions, and which brings to mind another point, which I will wait till the top of the next round, and then I'll bring it up. But next, I would like to go to Reed, K1EMD. This is KC1TWR.
K1EMD. My progress right now is just I'm a visual learner, not audio, so I listen and I write it down over and over and over again so I can finally get through the entire alphabet and listen to the music after that. Back to net control, K1EMD.
Oh, very good, Steve. I wish you success in learning Morse code. And learning is half the skill. And you know, so learning is actually, in my mind, better than sending, because you can send at different speeds and what have you, and somebody out there will be able to understand. But if you can listen to it and pick and understand it at many speeds, that makes it much more valuable. Okay, Kevin, I know you've already said one piece. Would you like, do you have any further comment as we go down through the list? KA6BDG, this is KC1TWR.
At the wrong time, I apologize, I didn't mean to. By the way, Dave gave a very nice comparison of the bug versus the paddle. And in all my years, I have never, that has always been confusing to me. What's the difference? And regardless of how many times I've asked the question, and Dave gave a very good description, so now I know the difference between a bug and a paddle. And I think the reason for the A-line up along the Canadian border is because it deals with frequencies that they use up in Canada for a lot of their ambulance and fire and first responder stuff. To my knowledge, that's what it's about. What the situation is along the Mexican border, for example, I don't know. And you'd think, having lived in Southern California and been to Mexico a couple of times, you would think I would know, but I don't. Anyway, KA6PD3.
Well, thank you, Kevin. And no, your comment earlier was very apropos to the to what David said. So I'm glad that you said it at that time, so we didn't get off on something else, what have you. And that makes sense. That up near the border there, and other countries do use different frequencies for different purposes, and we need to keep mindful of that when we travel. Now, I travel a lot, but still, it's a good thing to keep in mind. Let's go ahead to Steve, W1SVC. This is KC1TWR.
W1SVC. Yeah, just one little comment on the A line. I have spent a lot of time up in different parts of Canada, and just in casual conversation, I really thought about discussing the whys or hows, but I did notice that they don't really use a lot of UHF. Matter of fact, I was given a little HT that was a UHF because they said, here, just take this. We don't use this stuff up here. So I guess they've, I actually could check the band plan and see what the, how much UHF they actually get up there, but they do use a lot of it on public safety and things like that is real common, so I think that's the main reason. Back to that, W1SVC.
Yeah, thank you, Steve, and they very well could be the reason why amateur radio operators don't use it much because of the use by public services and first responders. That does make sense. Okay, we're at the bottom of, almost at the bottom of the list. Next in line is Josh, K0JEB. This is KC1TWR.
KC1TWR is K0JEB. Thought you were gonna come back to me with a question or something, so I'm drawing a blank. I remember reading somewhere. Isn't there not a satellite dish, a radio observatory or something up in Massachusetts there that we have to make sure we don't interfere with? I remember seeing a map somewhere, and it showed some kind of radio observatory area coming down to at least the eastern part of Connecticut, and I've drawn a blank as to what it was. I don't know if anybody else knows what I'm talking about, or maybe I'm just rambling on, but that's all I got. KC1TWR, it's K0JB.
Well, that's a good question, Josh. First I've heard about it, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. I know that there's a one down in West Virginia that does not allow any electronic devices within a certain number of miles and what have you. But maybe as we go around, somebody else might know about that. We're at the bottom of the list. This is the TIPSnet. It is for the betterment and the exchange of information and a good place for people to ask amateur radio related questions, and for those on the who are attending and checked in to possibly reply and give their thoughts and observations and suggestions and comments and helpful advice. My name is Tim, Kilo Charlie 1, Tango Whiskey Romeo. I'm net control for this evening. And if there's any others that would like to check in at this time, please call now.
Here is Kilo 1, Romeo, Mike, November, Bob in Montville. No questions at this time.
That recognizes Bob, K1RMN. Any further check-ins? Okay, Bob, you're the last one that we just went through the list, so if you've been listening for a while, do you have any comments or questions or anything you'd like to contribute at this point? K1RMN, this is KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is K1RMN. Nothing at this point. Just started listening about 10 minutes ago, but you guys have covered the CW as far as I want to get involved right now, so please keep going. Thank you. K1RMN, back to net.
Okay, we're at the top of the list, or at the bottom of the list. We're going to go back to the top. The item that I said that I brought to mind and I would bring up at this time, I will now bring up. I was in the Crystal Mall the other day, and I was walking by the AT&T store, and I saw a advertisement for FirstNet equipment and plans. And it's something that I had heard about for a while. It's a
My understanding is that it's specialized radios and frequencies and what have you for first responders, hence the name FirstNet. And FirstNet.gov is the government website talking about it. FirstNet.com is the AT&T website, which has partnered with the federal government to start setting things up. I did a little bit of research, and what I found of interest is that they are going to be using the standard cell phones and other data transmissions that the general public uses, but the equipment, the equipment in the background will receive signals or something from their radios indicating that in times of emergency they have priority and they can get through when other people can't. So basically, when a disaster strikes and everybody's using a cell phone, the cell phone towers are swamped, theirs will have priority in preemptive traffic, which means that more civilians and whatnot will not be able to get through because the services are being used by first responders, which makes sense. Let me reset. And this brought to mind, in my mind, the need for us to continue to hone and develop our skills for the traffic net, because in cases like that, where people who rely on their cell phones, not only are they swamped, but they're going to be even further unusable at times because first responders are going to be taking preemptive and priority traffic, and therefore some of the communication that may people would like to get across actually may fall back to amateur radio again. So that's my comment on that, and it's about quarter of, I think we have time for a couple more quick rounds. So Dave, K1DCT, this is KC1TWR.
Oh, very good, Tim. Well, let's see, just to make a quick comment here on what Josh was talking about. I'm not sure if this is the location he was talking about, but out on the edge of our edge of the Cape Cod, where, you know, you go across a canal, you're not far from the Otis Air Force Base, or Air National Guard Base. I know that there's a restricted area out there for flying purposes, so I don't know if that's the same place. And there is some device they use out on that Air Force Base. I can't think of what the name of it. It's an acronym, like everything else in the military. But it is some sort of radio thing, and I actually went to a little class on it at a Boxborough convention a few years ago. So there are some restrictions out there. I'm sure if you talk to somebody out there, they'd probably be very familiar with them. So that's my 2 cents worth on that. Back to that, K1DCT.
Okay, very good. That's good to know. Okay, we'll go down to the next person on the list. Chuck, W1FJW. This is KC1TWR.
To add what Dave said, it's called Pave Paws, PAVEPAWS. First Pave is just part of the military name. Paws is for Phased Array Warning System. It's part of the Air Force Space Command Space Surveillance System. Operates in that part of the band, so within 100 miles of Otis Air Force Base, you have these restrictions. That's all I got to add, W1FJW.
Very good. Very good research. Thank you both, Dave and Chuck, and learning a little bit more about some of these restrictions that may actually apply to us who live in the city in Groton. Okay, next to Reed, K1 EMD, this is KC1 TWR.
K1 EMD, nothing further for this evening. Thank you all. Back to that control, K1 EMD.
Well, thank you, Reed. And with all these comments, over to Kevin, KA6PDG, this is KC1 TWR.
Thanks, Tim. This is a great net. I remember at one time, and I don't know if it's still the case, there were going to be, when Doppler radar was first coming into its own, there were some restrictions around certain airports and maybe military air facilities, too. I don't know if that still happens. My guess is it probably does. And the National Radio Quiet Area down in West Virginia is fascinating. Read up on that if you haven't already. I think most hams have heard of it. I hear that they're having trouble enforcing the rule because of all the cell phones and other devices everybody uses nowadays. And I guess it's not such that you can be arrested or whatever. It's just, you know, I don't know how the policies and laws are written, but anyway, they do have people who drive around and look for households, for example, that are in violation, maybe using a Wi-Fi or a microwave oven or something. But I don't think they have any recourse to bust anybody, quote unquote. So we'll see. That's an interesting one. I'm glad you mentioned that, Tim. And on the first net.
Kevin, and yeah, it's, I'd heard about FirstNet about a year ago, and I think it's definitely something that is nationwide. I'm going to do some more research on it and have more information on it probably next week, and we'll go from there. Steve, W1SVC, this is KC1 TWR.
This is the seventh end round, 7-3s and all that. I do have one small fact on the A line. I have the book here, so I figured I would open it. They're showing the 430 to 450 megahertz as secondary for amateurs and primary for radio location. So I guess it's not necessarily public safety day, but for other stuff, they do use it a lot for uplink and stuff for downlink with the satellites, but they don't use them that much. There are some repeater stuff and some CW things and stuff, but it's not very popular. It's secondary. That's all I got, and good evening to all, and this is it. W1SVC back to net.
We may have another quick round, more of a goodbye round. Maybe I should have made this the last round. We shall see. And that's good to know about the 430 to 450 secondary for hams, primary for location. That may come in very handy. Okay, K0JEB, this is KC1TWR with the TIPSnet.
KC1TWR, K0JEB. It was mentioned a few minutes ago, the thing I was talking about for the radar was the PAVE-PAWS radar, 160 60 kilometer protection area for the 420 to 450 megahertz. And so that's that. I did find a link for it on the CT Spectrum Management website. And interesting fun fact, you mentioned about a cell phone emergency use. In a case where the cell phone network is overwhelmed and you can't make a call out, it's recommended to send a text message. The text message runs on a different portion of the frequencies for the cell tower, and there's less congestion with text messages versus voice communications. So if you're ever in a pinch and trying to get a hold of someone, try sending a text message. That's all I got. KC1TWR, K0JB.
Very good, Josh. Very good suggestion. It's there's definitely the text messages just start the data, zeros and ones, and go very quickly, and it's not somebody holding open a frequency while they're talking, so that is very true. Plus, as you said, it uses different frequencies, therefore different equipment, so that is good. Of course, that reminds me, harking back to when they used to charge 10 cents a text message. Silly. Okay, on to right near the bottom of the list, Bob, K1RMN. After all this discussion, any comments? This is KC1TWR.
This is K1RMN. No comments at this point, just listening. It sounds like a lot of good discussion tonight. Back to net.
Okay, very good. Okay, we actually took up a little bit more time than what I thought we would, but I did not say that was a goodbye round, so we will do one quick blast down through the list for people to have their goodbye comment, and then we will go to part two and part three of the net. So, starting very quickly at the top, Dave, K1DCT, this is KC1TWR.
All right, well, I won't tie it up too long. I'm just, sitting here in front of the master brain, plugging in stuff that we've been talking about, and just as a quick comment about the pay pause for Kevin, there was also one located at Beale Air Force Base in California, so that probably was the restrictions that he didn't know about. Back to net, K1DCT.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Dave. And Chuck, W1FJW, KC1TWR.
Just wish everyone a happy, healthy new year. W1FJW, 73.
Well, we all thank you, Chuck, and happy, healthy new year to you, too. And Reed, K1EMD, this is KC1TWR.
K1EMD, just 73 to all, back to net control, K1EMD.
Thank you, Reed. And Kevin, K6BDG, KC1TWR. Kevin, but that was not very good, Kevin. Boy, well, you find out, sometimes there is a cause and effect, and, well, I'm sure you'll learn a valuable lesson from that. And Steve, W1SVC, this is KC1TWR with a goodbye round on the tips net.
W1SVC, Tim, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you short on the last round. I think I was looking at the wrong clock or something, like all these hands moving around. 73's all, and have a good evening. Back to that, W1SVC.
Thank you, Steve. And on to Josh, K0JEB, this is KC1TWR.
K0JEB, just saying 73s to everybody. Hope everybody has a good night. KC1TWR is K0JEB.
Thank you, Josh. And finally, Bob, K1RMN, this is KC1TWR.
KC1TWR, this is K1RMN, I'll say 73s, and if you're all going to the Scrams meeting tomorrow night, I will see you there in Waterford at the Waterford Police Station. 73s, K1RMN, back to net.
Thank you, Bob, and that's the end of that round. I'm going to do a very quick, let's go ahead through the next sections, and I'll do a final call out before we sign off. We're now closing the first part of the net with the rounds of questions and comments, going into the second, which is for announcements of upcoming events and items of interest, of which Bob already reminded us of the Scrams meeting tomorrow night. And I would like to remind folks that there is also a Tri-City Amateur Radio Club meeting next Tuesday at 7:30 at the Red Cross Building on Route 32. And Tom Scott is also starting a tech class next Wednesday night. So I will open up for anybody who has any announcements about upcoming events or items of interest. Please call now. Okay, not hearing anything, we'll move to the third item, which is the opportunity for those that wish to swap, sell, or are looking for amateur radio-related items. Please call now. Okay, this is KC1TWR with the Tri-City Amateur Radio Club Tips Net, and we're about to close the net, but I'd like to do one last call out for any that would like to check in or anybody with further comments. Please call now. Thanks to all who participated in the Tri-City Amateur Radio Tips Net, and thanks to all who stood by and listened as we conducted the net. The Tri-City Amateur Radio Club meets on the second Tuesday of each month at the American Red Cross Service Center at 1031 on Route 32 in Montville, Connecticut. Meetings start at 7:30 p.m. and are open to all interested persons, licensed or not. Information about the club may be found at their website, www.tricityarc.com. That's TRICITYARC.com. We'd like to thank John, W1AN, for the use of this repeater. This net will meet again next Wednesday at 7 p.m. on this frequency. I now return the repeater to regular amateur use. This is Kilo Charlie 1 Tango Whiskey Romeo. Good evening and 73.